I wish I could have a coffee, but I will hold off. Happy New Year. We made it to 2023. We were sitting in a prayer meeting last night at Kevin's, and I have no idea how I came up with this. Bear with me, because I'm going to present some thoughts this morning. I hope that they make sense. I was considering, and I don't know how, Psalm 23. And I just want to start with Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, before I pray. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I'll just leave it there, that the specific message is not it. I just love that part, to hear about this church. And I just want to say, may the Holy Spirit speak. May he say something to us all today. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the beginning of this new year, in these momentous times that are taking place all around us and at far distant places, that on the other side of the country something will happen and yet it seems to affect us. But things are not out of control because Jesus is on the throne. We acknowledge that. We hold that truth up, Lord, that that everything that's taking place, Lord, is by your hand. And we thank you, Lord, that it is not out of control. We trust you. We put our hope in you in the midst of everything that seems to be flailing all around us, Lord. There is peace and rest in your presence. And this morning I ask, Lord, for your help to share just a few thoughts in the beginning of this year, that the calendar says we have a new year, but with you, every minute is a new minute. And so we thank you for gathering us together, Lord, and may the Holy Spirit speak this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you with it? Now, to properly see the Psalm 23, and this is kind of like the thought that stuck in my head this last night, to properly associate Psalm 23 with something that can help us and make sense here, I want us to be able to see the church. Not us, not a building, not somebody else, but the church from the heavenlies, the church in God's mind, in his thoughts, and what he sees in the church, not the seven churches of Revelation, which have the highs and lows and failures, and but the church from the heavenlies. I want us to be able to see that and use Psalm 23 to see where that the thoughts will lead us. So Revelation 2:7 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that's what I want us in this, at the beginning of this new year, to be able to say: the Spirit is speaking to us. That's where we should be getting all of our incoming messages from, the Holy Spirit. So let's take it. It's heavenly and it's spiritual. That's what we need to be able to see today and tomorrow and the next day. And I thought of using Psalm 23 to try to lay that out. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, to help make this connect with us in the church, I also say, and I think you can use, it's Old Testament, Psalm, poetry, but you can also bring it into the New Testament and compare it, connect it with any book of the New Testament. But in my thinking, I connected it to Ephesians. So I want to use a little bit of Psalm 23 and a little bit of Ephesians. It's going to be a race to get those verses on the screen, but it's okay. We'll do a little bit at a time. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. No human being, he's human, but he's God in human flesh, but no person intended to be my shepherd. There's only one shepherd. And in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. That's the job of the shepherd, and only the shepherd can do that. No man can do what the shepherd, our heavenly shepherd, can do. Bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Now, Ephesians 4:11 and 12 said, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." It's all a good thing. There are people given to the church, gifts to the church, but there's only one shepherd. Nobody can take the place of the shepherd. And I thank the Lord that of all these years here, we have never really, we've have our favorites, but we've never really trusted any one person. And I've been in places where people did that. And there is always loss because flesh and blood is not qualified to be our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, raise up any idea you have in your mind about provision and hunger and all that from a spiritual perception, a place from the heavenlies. What is your greatest want as a person growing up? If you measure your life, what have you always wanted? And that is, in spiritual matters, that you have a right place with God, that you are saved, that the greatest desire is to be right before him. Ephesians 1:4 says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. We may not always in our early life know what we really want. We think we want some money. We think we want a nice car, a nice Jeep, or we want, comfort and accessibility. We want all that. But as we go older and we see what things, get some money, it goes away real fast. You get some money and it doesn't fully satisfy. There's only one who satisfies. And that want is deep, deep down a recovery from the sin that mankind has been captured by. And there's no other way out of that captivity but by being captive of the shepherd. He's the only one. And I shall not want. He makes me, Psalm 23, verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That is an interesting picture of what? You're laying down in green pastures. What's going on? You are at rest. Your rest, we're taking spiritual now. Your life can be filled with turmoil. And I got to say that sometimes our lives get a little bit crazy. But in the midst of craziness, there is rest. And you have to view it spiritually. You are at rest. You are at rest in a place of ample supply. You have pastures of grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. If that's not a green pasture, I don't know what is. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the blood. That's a green pasture. And that, if that sinks spiritually, if you grab a hold of that spiritually, that you are predestined to adoption as a son, you've got rest right there. You can rest in that. But it's interesting. It is the next half of this verse, in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That is rest, but he leads me beside quiet waters. So at one point you have rest, and at another point he leads me beside still waters, you have movement. So he makes you rest and he moves you on at the same time. Go figure. You don't see this in our lives day to day, out in the streets. We don't see that, but in the heavenlies, we have rest and we have action at the same time. There is action and peace. He leads me beside still waters. So we're on the move. There is action, and the still waters, there is peace. So in one sense, the green pastures, you have rest spiritually, and in the still waters, you have peace. But you have to see that spiritually. He is the shepherd. When we look to the shepherd, we'll have rest and we will have peace, even on the move, all at the same time. And that is, let's look at Ephesians 1, 7 to 10. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. That sounds like green pasture to me. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. That is a spiritual look at the shepherd doing the job of a shepherd, managing his creation that he created. He's managing it for his own glory, for his own good. So he leads me beside the quiet waters where there's peace. Verse 3, he restores my soul. Now, thinking about this from a subtext here of the church, we all have our different opinions of what we think about the church. That's kind of why we're here. That is why we're here, and we're not somewhere else, because we've developed a unique view of the church. I've been to a lot of different places throughout the years. Thank the Lord, He's brought us all here together. But he restored my soul, and I want to say not the earthly church, but the church from the view of heaven, there is no other place as effective, as useful to the Lord, the shepherd, to restore someone's soul. You can get all the self-help books you want. You can go to the gym for 6 months and lose weight, but you cannot restore your soul as well, as effectively as the church can. Now, there are some gatherings where it may take longer than usual, and you may be a stubborn old codger, but the church is the choice of the Holy Spirit to restore someone's soul. There's nothing else. There's no TV program will do it. No college education. No nothing. It's the church to restore the soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. He puts me. Oh, I didn't include Ephesians on that. I want to include the restoring the soul. So also we have obtained an inheritance. This is the restoring of the soul, and this is what we receive in the church. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That's the purpose of the church. That's the way to a restored soul, is an inheritance, been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. There's no better place than the church. Now he guides, all right, next verse, he guides me in the paths of righteousness. Verse 3, for his name's sake. He puts us on the paths and he keeps us there. But how? How does he do that? How does he put us on a path? I think I would go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 1:13 is the path he guides in the path of righteousness. In him, Ephesians 1:13, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So how does he guide us in the paths of righteousness? We hear the message, We hear the gospel, we receive it, and we are sealed in the Holy Spirit. And we have a guide, we have a helper, we have what we need to stay on the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. Ephesians 1:14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. It's interesting. Everything he does for us, in us, has its ultimate purpose to give him glory, not us. It's for his name's sake. I would throw in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. For his name's sake. He's accomplished a lot. Now we go to verse 4. For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. The valley of the shadow of death. And I don't know, you watch television, you watch the news, you read things, websites. And remember what we're looking at here. We're looking at the church, the spiritual church, not us, not anybody else, the spiritual church. It has been placed in this earth. And this earth has two entities, the church, and it's also out there. There is in here and there is out there, right? In here, the Lord, the Spirit. Out there, wherever you go in this world, because of sin, there is the shadow. It's a valley. It's like a valley, a steep valley, and there's always a shadow of something following you wherever you go. It's the valley, the shadow of death. Everywhere around us, how to say this, is death. Peggy's family comes from Chicago. And I just read this statistic. I saw this morning. In Chicago, a person is shot every 2 hours and 26 minutes. In the year of, because this is 2023, this is a statistic from 2022. In the whole calendar year, someone was shot in Chicago every 2 hours, 26 minutes. A person is murdered in Chicago every 11 hours, 56 minutes. That's death. That's the shadow of death traveling along. In Chicago in 2022, last year, shot and killed 665 people. Shot and wounded, not killed, just wounded, 2,936 people. The total shot, you add those two together, you got 3,601 people, and the total homicides, this is where you get, it's like two people a day, it's 734 people were murdered in Chicago. This is the way of the earth, the way of the world. And have you noticed, I've noticed this, that there is a much more rising rage in people. It is because maybe it's the last 2 years of the COVID lockdown and failures in schools and a leftward trend in politics. The whole place is a mess. It's the shadow of death all around us. There is an in here, in the church, not in this building, but in the church that God has all of us as citizens of heaven, there is the out there. And we don't want the two. The two should not come together. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff. Ephesians 1, 21 and 23, far above. This is the authority of the risen, ascended, and glorified Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1, 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to who? The church. That's incredible. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, do you notice something? I want you to see this, that in the first half of Psalm 23, the pronoun is always he. He restores, he guides. But once you go through, by recognition, the valley of the shadow of death, the pronoun changes. When the Holy Spirit does a work in any one of us, and we see an out there and an in here, and we see the vast difference between the two, and the things of the Spirit in the church cannot be the same as the things of the earth. The things of out there, the methods, the education, the ethics, the morals of out there do not belong in the church. It is totally incompatible with the church. But we bring up, there's all kinds of groups who gather together and try to use the ways of the world to build up the church and do things like that, and it is totally wrong. There is a great dividing line between the church and the out there. And we've got to see that. And we do see that, we begin to see that, as the pronouns begin changing here. For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for... It doesn't say, for he is with me. It says, thou art with me. Brothers and sisters, see him as he is. Receive him as he is. And don't say he, say you. We sing that. We'll modify songs to say you instead of he. But in Psalm 23, that pronoun has changed, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Is there a better table than Ephesians 2:5? Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. That is a table that is set before us in the presence of mine enemies. We are surrounded by even the most nicest, well-meaning people. If they are not saved, they are, until we're saved, we're an enemy. Now, some may not be very active, but salvation is a dividing line. And the Lord is working. He's always working. Go out there and get those Bibles, Jim. Get those Bibles into the schools. That's the best place. Because right now, the enemies of God are turning the schools into places you wouldn't want to put your children into. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. And this has to do with the work Jim is doing and others doing. Anointed my head with oil. What does that mean? What is that? Well, this is what happened to Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edges of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. This, thou anointest my head with oil, is the reality in the spiritual, in the church. We're all priests. We are priesthood, a royal priesthood. And that oil is for us, for the purpose of ministry, passing out Bibles or whatever we want to do. That's what it's for. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. The supply of the Lord never ends. It is an endless supply. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, the church, that is the church, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. There is a supply going through every joint, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Those words would have absolutely no meaning to you if you don't see the church from the heavenly position, the heavenly perspective. If you're looking at some structure, you're missing it. You're missing it. And because these are spiritual words that we do the best we can to interpret. My cup overflows. The supply never ends. Now, there may be dry seasons. I've heard all of the great brothers that we've had in our midst, all of them, every one of them admitted to, it's been a dry season. Charles would say, well, that pond water is awful low past while, saying basically that sometimes there we go through a season of dryness. That's okay. The supply is there. It's just the Lord's doing something different in each one of us. And there will be a dry season. But the supply is always there. Your cup will always overflow. Surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life. goodness and mercy is always right behind us. We just have to turn around and look. It's always there. They are always there. Spurgeon said this, "These twin guardian angels will always be with me at my back and my beck." Beck and call, you might say. "Just as when great princes go abroad, they must not go unattended, so it is with the believer. Goodness and mercy follow him always, all the days of his life, the black days as well as the bright days, the days of fasting as well as the days of feasting, the dreary days of winter as well as the bright days of summer. Goodness supplies our needs, and mercy blots out our sins." And they're there all the time. Just turn around and look. Spurgeon said it very well. And last, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I heard someone, I don't remember where I read it or heard it, but right now we are in the house of the Lord, not this building. I might say the church. We're in the house of the Lord, but we're on the first floor. There have been people before us who have gone up to the second floor, and we will go up to the second floor eventually, but it's all the house of the Lord. Even now, even today, even when we gather, we're here in the house of the Lord. So that is a little look at Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And I'm finished with time. Time to enter into 2023, a little early here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our shepherd with so much to accomplish. Lord, may we see you personally. Not that you are distant and remote to us, but you're right with us. And the Holy Spirit is filling us. We want to be like Barnabas, who is described as filled with the Spirit and full of faith. And as we enter into this new year, Lord, this could be a year of stress, and it will be some stress for each one of us in own different way, Lord, but that your Holy Spirit can be with us to provide, Lord, comfort and rest and peace, and how your church needs that rest and peace. And may the faith of many be strong and not waver and not weaken in these last days. Come, Lord Jesus. We say that, Lord. It's your time schedule. We have no idea of that schedule, but we do say, come, Lord Jesus, that we may all arise in the house of the Lord. And we pray for the spreading of your word as our brother and many brothers hand out Bibles in critical places, schools, to young children. May the Holy Spirit go with each one of those samples of the Word of God and speak to whoever receives them, Lord, in these critical last days. There are many workers, and many we don't even know. Some we support, some that we know of. Lord, but you are raising up people all the time, and you're giving us new insights in you, and we thank you for that. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, in this beginning of a brand new year, give us the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen.